Okay, we'll start here at the bottom of Pehei Amud Beh. We'll just review the Mishnah, because the Mishnah will become essential in the Machloket Rashi and Tosafot, about how to explain the Gemara, the upcoming Gemara. The Mishnah said, Ve'eluim alu yerdu. They went up on the Mizbeach, they're brought back down. Basar kodshe kodoshim, basar kodshim kalim, utara omer, shtei lechem, lechem apanim, visheri minachot v'aktoret. All of these are items that don't belong on the Mizbeach or Mizbeach achitzon. They are not achilat ha-mizbeach, and therefore if they're placed on the mizbeach, we say, please take them down. Now the next piece, which is what the discussion will revolve around, is that tzemer shebrashei kvasim, b'se'ar shebzakan tayashim, the hair on the top of the heads of the sheep, and the beards of the goats, v'hatzamot, the bones, the gidim, the sinews, v'akarnayim, and the horns, v'talfayim, and the hooves, v'zmanshim, v'chubarim, when they're attached, yalu. Then you take them up in this Be'ach Shenemar, Biktir HaKohen et HaKol. HaKol meaning everything. Pershu, if they're separated, Lo Yalu, Shenemar, Vasita Lotecha, Basar V'Adam. That the only thing that ends up on the Mizbech is the Basar V'Adam. And the Gemara will discuss the reconciliation between these two psukim. Tan Rabbanan. Biktir HaKohen et HaKol HaMizbecha. The Kohen puts everything onto the Mizbech. Lirabot, Hatzamot, Agidim, Vakranayim, Vatalfayim. Yochol, Afilu, Pershu, you would think that's true even if they separated, Tam Lomar, Vasita Lotecha, Basar V'Adam. Implying that only the basar v'dam. Ibasar v'dam, if that's the case, yachol yachal lotz gidim v'atzamot, I would think that there's a mitzvah to take the gidim v'atzamot off of the animal, v'yaleh basar l'gabay mizbech, and then only afterwards put it on. I mean, there would be a mitzvah l'faresh to take them off. Tamalomer v'ktira kohen et hakol. Hakeit said, how do we reconcile between these two? Mechubarim ya'alu, if they're still attached, they go up. Pershu, afilu hein barosha mizbeach yerdu. That if they are pershu, they separated even on the rosha mizbeach, then they come back down. Man tano dishmait le damar pershu yerdu. Who is the tana who is of the opinion that when they separate on the top of the mizbeach, you bring them back down? Rabbi, that's the position of Rabbi that we have a brighter over here, the Tanya. Victira Kohen et HaKol HaMizbecha, Larabot, Hatzamot, Vagidim, Vakarnayim, Vatalfayim. Afilu Pershu. This is even if they separated. Pe'alamani Mekayim, Vasito, Lotecha, Basar, Vadam. Amlecha, Ikulei Ola, Tamachzir, Viatamachzir, Ikulei Gidim, Vatzamot. So here, this is the position of the Tanakhama or the Rabbanon. The Rabbanon believe Victira Kohen et HaKol means everything goes on the Mizbech, the Hatzamot, the Gidim, Karnayim go on, whether they are Mechubar, or whether they're pershu, whether they separated, they go on to the mizbeach. So what about the pasuk v'asita lotecha basar v'adam, which seems to narrow what goes on the mizbeach? So that comes to teach you that ikulei ola tamachzir, if something that is partially consumed or consumed that belonged to the core animal, if that came off the mizbeach, you put it back on the mizbeach. On the other hand, if something like the gidim atzamot that were consumed, they come off the mizbeach, then we do not put those back onto the mizbeach. Now, Rabbi Omer, this is the Rabbi that we said, he's the author of that position. The one pasuk says, which is riba. Which is limiting miyet. Hakeit said, how do I reconcile between them? Mechubarim ya'alu. They're attached, they go up. Pershu, afilu hein perushim mizbeach, yerdu. If they are separated, even on the top of the mizbeach, yerdu. So that is the opinion of Rabbi. That's what we saw right after the Mishnah, the Braita that we brought. That Braita is authored by Rabbi. So that everybody agrees on. The question now is, who's the author of our Mishnah? Our Mishnah does not seem to reconcile with either of the opinions here. It doesn't seem to reconcile with Rabbi, and it doesn't seem to reconcile with the Rabbanon. It has a problem with the Rabbanon. The Rabbanon say, afilu pershu. Even if it separated it, you take it up onto the Mizbeach, which is not true of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that, pershu, lo yalu. If they separate, you don't take them up. On the other hand, our Mishnah doesn't exactly sound like Rabbi either, because Rabbi says, pershu afilu hein perosh mizbeach, that if they separate even on the top of the mizbeach, yerdu, that you take them down. But that from our Mishnah doesn't sound like that. Our Mishnah says, pershu, they separate, lo yalu, don't take them up. But if they're already up, lo teired, you won't take them back down. So neither... Our Mishnah does not sound like Rabbi, does not sound like the Rabbanon. So it turns out to be Machlokas, Rashi, and Tosafot. And obviously each one of them will have a difficulty. Rashi says, Man Shmaitle, Umat Nitan Alibe. Who's the one the author of this opinion, the break that we brought right after the Mishnah? And he's also the author of our Mishnah. The author of Mishnah, according to Rashi, is Rabbi. And Rabbi believes that in Pershu, if they separate the top and bech, then you bring them back down. Even though you would have been medayik out of a Mishnah, that Pershu lo yalu means don't put them up. But if they're up, don't take them down. That you can't say, or you won't beat that diuk, because that would be a difficulty for Rashi's pshat. But that difficulty is what leads Tosafot to say the author of our Mishnah is the Rabbanu. The Rabbanu, the author of our Mishnah. Wait a minute. The Rabbanu, the author of our Mishnah. Rabbanu say that even if it's Pershu l'mato, you take it up. So what do you mean if you do Pershu, you take it up? Our Mishnah says that Pershu lo yalu. They separate, you can't take them up. So Tosus reinterprets what the Rabbanu are saying over here. Re-Pershu Rabbanu, dafkahi. Iktani lo yalu mashma dimalu lo yerdu. Tosas rereads, or the rereads the Rabbonin over here. See, when they say Afilu Pershu, doesn't mean Lamata. That doesn't mean down on the floor. Afilu Pershu means on the Mizbech itself. Even if they separate on the Mizbech itself, Yalu, then you keep them up there, you put them back up there. So the Tosas rereads the Rabbonin in order to fit them into our Mishnah. Because of the difficulty of the diuk. Pershu lo yalu means, but if yalu, if they went up, then lo yoter du, they won't come back down. Lo yerdu, they won't come back down. So because of that, he explains that the author of our Mishnah is the Rabbonon and not Rabbi. There's a difficulty, obviously there's a difficulty with each pshat. Right? Rashi has a difficulty with the diuk out of the Mishnah. Tosos has to reread the Rabbonon, afilu pershu, to mean only al gabi mizbeach and not down below, in order to have the Rabbonon reconcile with the Mishnah. That'd be the Machlokas Rashi and Tosafot. In the conclusion, who is the author of our Mishnah? Rashi says it's Rabbi, and Tosafot says it's the Rabbonon. So now the Gemara continues here. The Gemara, the header that we have in our Gemara is Pershu Lo Ya'alu. If they separate, then Lo Ya'alu, then you don't take them up onto the Mizbeach, which would imply that the next statement of the Gemara is modifying or qualifying our Mishnah. Rashi has a different Girsa, and Tosafot brings the Girsa of Rashi and says that Rashi's Girsa is right. The Girsa that we have in front of us that says this is referencing the Mishnah is not correct, but rather this is referencing the Braita that we just brought. So therefore the wording here should not be Pershu lo yalu, which is our Mishnah, but rather the Girsa should be Yerdu, by the last statement of Rabbi. Ha'ketze mechubarim yalu, Pershu, if they separate, afilim barosh mizbeach, Yerdu. So that was it. The Pershu Yerdu should be the header here. And now this is coming to modify the Braita, or Rabbi's position in the Braita, not to modify our Mishnah. So Tosos and Rashi both agree that that's what the Gemara is doing here, and that the header should be altered to match with the Braita. This is explanation of the Braita, not explanation of our Mishnah. So Amar Rabbi Zera, Lo Shanu Elisha Pershu Kalfei Mato, or Klapei Mato. That's only true if they separated towards the downward. Of a klape malo, if they separate going upwards, kruve hu akrivu the equal. They're getting closer to being consumed. So that sounds like the separation over here has to separate in such a way as to move it further away from the pyre, further away from the mizbeach, rather than closer to the mizbeach. So Gemara asks, vafilu pershu? Even if it's separated, how could it be? We just said, Rabbi said, if it's pershu, you got to take it off the mizbeach. So how could you be talking about closer, further away, when it's separated out? So Amar Rabba Achi Kamar. Now this is what Rabbi Zera meant. This is how I'll explain to you the words of Rabbi Zera. Kamar Lo Shanu El Shem Pershu La Achar Zrika. That's only true if they separate after Zrikat Adam. Aval Pershu Kodem Zrika Ate Zrika Bisharitinu. Afilu Meba Meinayu Katasakine. But yet, if they separate before Zrikat Adam, the Zrikat Adam comes and is matir these bones to the point where you can get enough from them. You can make them into a handle for a knife. So, Velokiha, he holds like this explanation of Yochanan. Dam Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Ne'amar Lo Yeh Be'ola. The Or Ola Lo Yeh. It says by the Ola that the Or Ola will be for the Kohen. That Lo Yeh is extraneous. But Ne'amar Lo Yeh by the Asham. Ma asham at mutav mutarim. Just like by the asham, the bones are mutar. Af olam tzamot mutarim. So too, by the olah, the bones are mutar. Mufni, that has to be open for exereshava. Dilo mufni, if it wasn't open for exereshava, ikal mifrach, we can break up this logic. Ma la asham jekein b'saro mutar. So the Yesham, the reason that's a motor mutarim is because the Basar is also mutar. So lo yer teira k'tiv, lo yer yetera comes to teach us, that extra extreme lo yer comes to teach us gzera shava no matter what. Gzera shava supersedes logic, and therefore we don't worry about the pircha. We say that if the Yesham, the bones are okay, then by the Ola, the bones are also okay. And that's what Rabbi came to explain, what Rabbi Zera meant here. You have to look, or you have to determine at what point in time is the perish happening. What time did they separate from the animal? If they separate prior to the Zrikat Adam, that means that they've already been defined as a separate entity. They're defined as a separate entity at the Zrikat Adam, then what does Zrikat Adam do? Well, let's think about an Hashem. Zrikat Adam by Hashem is matir the basar for achilal yedei kohanim. So too over here, it'll be matir the atzamot for the kohanim to do whatever they want from it. And Rashi says that is a pavachomer, in a sense that the basar, if the basar is mutar, then certainly the atzamot should be notar. Rashi asks the question, well, if the basar is mutar, it becomes to notar, it's only not to be eaten for a day and a night, the atzamot should have the same din of notar. Rashi says, lo shayach notar, lo b'midid debar achila. Notar only applies to things that are consumed. Things that are not consumed don't have a din of notar. So that's how we learn out from this, that from the Asham, that we know that the Asham, the basar is mutar by the zrika, that same zrika will also be matir the atzamot, to say that the Kohanim can get hana from them, like Rabbi Shmuel, or Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shmuel. And therefore, based on that, when we have them attached at the time of the zrika, that means that they were still a part of the animal. And if they separate afterwards, they become pasul, but still asur b'hana'ah. So if they separate beforehand, they become like the basar, and then the zrika the dam is matir them. If they're attached to the time of the zrika, they become kodesh, kodesh to the point where you put them on the mizbeach, but then if they separate, they become psulim. And the psulim, lo yalu, zrika the dam, they become psulim, and since they're psulim, they get removed from the mizbeach, or they don't get taken up to the mizbeach. But as long as they remain attached to the core animal, then they can be placed on the mizbeach.
Again, how do you reconcile the idea that they remain attached during the zrika?
Right, because Olah is supposed to go on the mizbeach. So the only parts that would look like the basar of the asham, which is something that's separated out, that won't end up in the mizbeach, like the or the skin of the animal, has the same din as the basar that belongs to the kohen. So only items that have been separated away from that which ends up in the mizbeach has a din like the basar of the asham. Otherwise, an olah goes entirely on the mizbeach. So by an asham, that's not true. By asham, everything doesn't go on the mizbeach. So therefore, everything is mutar yedei zrika, just like the basar is mutar, so they have samot. By the olah, you have to define it like to be, there's two things. By the olah, everything ends up in the mizbeach except for the or, except for the skin. If you take off other things to make them like the skin, or like the basar of the asham, by separating them out, then they are mutar yedei zrika. So Tosfot points out over here that Rashi says, reason that the atzamot over here are mutarim is because the basar is mutar, mikal v'chomer. If you come a chomer, if the basar is mutar, then certainly the atzamot should be mutarim. So Tosfot says, first of all, he says it's difficult, Rashi is difficult, and he says even Rashi himself, further on in the Masechta, and Daf Tzadichet, asks the question on himself, and he says, uperish to mikal v'chomer, the basar lo nafki atzamot. You could not learn out atzamot. You could just say that the reason the Torah is matir basar is because you can eat it. And then why is it so clear the Gemara by the Asham that the atzamot are totally mutarim? The Torah says that comes out of the drasha of lo yeh. Lo yeh comes to teach you that everything belongs to the Kohen. So that's that extra, that lo yeh is what teaches you that the atzamot are mutarim. Not like Rashi explains over here, not like what I said in the Gemara. That is a kal v'chomer mi basar. If the basar is mutar, then certainly the atzamot are mutarim. So it says that kal v'chomer may not stand because basar is ro'oi le'achila, atzamot are not ro'im le'achila. So Tosfos Nehan says it comes out of the limud of the lo yeh. Now the Gemara continues and says, Meitei Rav Adar Bar Ava, atzamot kodoshim. When we're talking about the bones of Kodashim, lifnei, we're talking about Kodashim haneachalim, Kodashim that are eaten, lifnei zrika, before zrika, tadam mo'alim bahen. Then they have mi'ila associated with them. La'achar zrika, ein mo'alim bahen. Then after zrika, tadam, there is no mi'ila with them. The zrika is matir. Ola, mo'alim bahen, the olam. And then the ola, you're mo'el bahen forever. Whoa, we just suggested over here, according to Rabbi Yochanan and according to Rabbo, that the Olah, after Zrikat Adam, if the Atzamot were separated out, they'd be Mutarim. Why would you have a problem with Mi'ilo then? So Mary says, okay, reread that. Ema, Bishel Olah. You have to define. You have to qualify the statement by the Ola. Perishu lifnei zrika. If they separated out before zrika, in molim behem. La'achar zrika. If they only separated after zrika, molim behem le'olam. Then they remain in their status of me'ilah forever, even though they're psulim and they can't get up on the mizbeach. Nevertheless, they are still problematic in terms of me'ilah. They still have their kodesh because it was never a matir that took away the kodesh from them. Upliga de Rabbi Elazar. This statement of Rabba is in disagreement with the position of Rabbi Elazar. Da'amar Rabbi Elazar, pirshu lifnei zrika, if they separate out before zrika, mo'alim behem, then they remain in their status of mi'ilah. Achar zrika, lo nehenin velo ma'alin. If they are after zrika, then they do not have any mi'ilah associated with them, mido raita. They only have a mi'ilah that's associated with them, midi rabbanon. This goes against Rabba. Which part of the statement of Rabbi Elazar disagrees with Rabba? The girsa that we have in front of us, the girsa that Rashi has, both statements of Rabbi Elazar disagree with Rabba. Right, the way we have the girsa is, Kershu lifnei zrika, ma'alim behen. If they separate out before zrika, there is mi'ilah. Well, if there is mi'ilah, when they separate before, that's against Rabbi Yochanan, or against Rabba's position. Because Rabba believes if you separate out before the zrika is matir them. That's not true of Rabbi Elazar. The second statement of Rabbi Elazar is Achar Zrika. After Zrika, they separate out. There only is a Mila Derabonon. That also disagrees with Rabba's position. Rabba said that after Zrika, if they separate, they remain B'Mila. They remain problematic. And even though they're Psulim and they can't go on the Mizbeach, they still have a problem of Mi'ila. So the Girsa that we have, the Girsa that Rashi has, is that both statements of Rabbi Elazar disagree with Rabba. Both the Shnei Zrika and the Achar Zrika. On the other hand, there was an additional girsa, the Svarim, the Tosfos brings a girsa in the Svarim, Shegosim Malim Behen Ad Zrika. The first statement of Elazar was that, Pershu Lifnei Zrika, they separate before Zrika, Malim Behen Ad Zrika. You have Mila in them until Zrika, and that statement would agree with Rabba. Because Rabba says the same thing, that they're problematic until the Zrika, but once it's Zrika, they're Mutar, and Rabba Elazar agrees. Their only disagreement will be in the second statement of Rabba Elazar then, which is the Achar Zrika. What happens after Zrika? If they only separate after Zrika, then, the Achar Zrika, according to Rabba, they are remain b'mi'ilah, they are problematic forever. Whereas according to Rabba Elazar, they only have a din of mi'ilah dirabonon. So the way the other girsa oats that they have, or Tosfos brings down, is that only the second statement of Rabba Elazar is problematic or disagreeing with Rabba. According to the girsa that we have, which is Rashi's girsa, then both statements of Rabba Elazar disagree with the position of Rabba. The next Mishnah. This Mishnah actually has some reference to Tzvi. You asked the question yesterday, does it make a difference if something comes off the Mizbeach by itself, or is it taken off by human hands? Our Mishnah doesn't address it, but it is addressed by Tosafot over here, where they have to deal with the question in Rashi, which is Kulan. What is the Kulan over here? Rashi says the Kulan means Hanach Sulim Shalu, plus Atzamot V'Gidim. He says anything that is pasul to go on the Mizbeach, plus Atzamot V'Gidim. So Rashi says it's referencing anything that we mentioned before that was not allowed to be put on the Mizbeach. If it ended up in the Mizbeach, and Lo Teireid, you don't take it down, but now it Paku. They jumped off the Mizbeach. Lo yachzir. Don't put it back on. Now, lo yachzir can be read one of two ways. Lo yachzir means do not put it back on. Or Rashi reads over here, lo yachzir, in tzarech lachzir. You don't have to put it back on. You could, if you want, to put it back on, but you're not obligated to put it back on. V'chein gechelet, shepaka me'algam Mizbeach. Also, a coal that popped off the Mizbeach. Lo yachzir. Don't put it back on. Now, don't put it back on. Rashi again reads as being you don't have to put it back on. Not that you may not. Others will read, lo yachzir means literally you cannot put it back on. Evarim shepaku al mizbeach. On the other hand, the limbs that popped off the mizbeach, kodem chatzot yachzir. If it happens before midnight, you put them back on. Umo alim bahen. And they still have an amiyullah associated with them because the mitzvah hasn't been completed. After chatzot, after midnight, lo yachzir. You don't have to put them back. Again, Rashi, you don't have to put them back. Others will suggest lo yachzir means do not put them back. They ma'alim bahem, and they have no miyullah associated with them because their mitzvah has been completed. Just like the Mizbeach is Mekadesh, anything that is Ra'oi Lo, Kach Akevesh Mekadesh. The Kevesh, the ramp, has the same status as the Mizbeach, and it's also Mekadesh. The ramp is equal to Mizbeach, or equivalent to Mizbeach with regards to this. Ukshem Shem Mizbeach, Akevesh Mekadeshim, et Ra'oi Lahen, Kach Akelim Mekadeshim. Just like the Mizbeach and the Kevesh are Mekadesh, that which is Ra'oi for them, so too Kelim are Mekadesh items. Right, that won't be the subject of today, the rest of the remainder of today's daf. That we will deal with on the next day on Shabbos' daf. So now, the Kulan here, Shabbakul Agam Mizbeach, we have a question. We have items that are popping off the Mizbeach, and there's a question as to whether you return them to the Mizbeach or not. We had a statement yesterday, Tzvi, where you asked your question, which is, Amar Ula, Lo Shanu Ela Shlo Mashla Behen Aor. That's only if the fire hasn't taken to them. Ava Mashla Behen Aor Yalu. But if the fire already took hold of them, then you put them back up. So that means, if, or depending on which day on the Amoraim, on which Ula was speaking about, but assuming that Ula is speaking about the Reisha case which says that, Imalu, lo yardu, but im yardu, lo yalu, if the psulim come off the Mizbeach, you don't put them back on, Ula says that's only if the fire didn't take to them yet. But if the fire took to them already, then you do take them back up. Well, how do we reconcile between Ula and our Mishnah over here? Our Mishnah says something that was pasul, that comes off, don't put lo yachzir, don't put it back on. And Ula is saying, yes, put it back on. It's clear here that Mashla ben Aor, over here it's clear that the fire took to them, because we're talking about items that are mukalim, things that were already consumed in a way. So Tosfos asks, based on Rashi's pshat of Kulan refers to all psulim, how do we explain Ula's position? If you narrow down the Kulan here just to be the Atzamot and Gidin, then you don't have a problem. Because so then our Mishnah is referring to Atzamot and Gidin. Ula is talking about other psulim. And then you can reconcile between them except for the Mandamar, the Ramor, that says that Ula is even going on the Seifa. But the way Rashi is explaining it, that the Kulan here refers to everything, then how do we reconcile between Ula and our Mishnah? So Tosfos says, that's after they were consumed a little bit. That's only if they were burned up a little bit. So the first answer Tosfos gets, the difference between Mashla ben Aor and our Mishnah, which is talking about that they were paku after shenit achlu. Ula is talking about a case where the fire took to them, but didn't really do anything to them yet. So therefore, you got to put them up to finish off the burning. They got to have the mitzvah of them being consumed done to them. On the other hand, our Mishnah is talking about already where they've been burnt up considerably, and therefore the mitzvah is done, and therefore you don't have to put them back on. But he says, Rashi internally is not a stira, because Rashi in our Mishnah reads lo yachzir means you do not have to put them back on. You're not obligated to put them back on. Ah, if that's the case, because then you could explain the im yalu, that when Ula said before, lo shanu ashlo mashla ben haor, ava mashla ben haor yalu, just like Rashi over here says, lo yachzir means optional, he'll say by Ula also, yalu means if you want to put them back on. Therefore, now our Mishnah and Ula are not in disagreement. Ula says that if the fire caught to them, yalu, if you want, put them back on. Our Mishnah says, if the fire caught to them, lo yachzir, don't put them back on if you don't want to. But if you want to, you can. And therefore, Ula and the Mishnah will be reconciled by the fact that neither the one is an obligation. Lo yalu is not an obligation, lo yachzir is not an obligation. Both of them are optional. So it's optional, they're just giving you the different sides of the option. Ula's giving the side of the option, yalu, if you want, put it on. Our Mishnah's giving the side of the option, lo yachzir, that you don't have to put them back on. But either way, it would be fine. If you want to put them on, if you don't want to put them on. And that's how you reconcile according to Rashi. Then the last possibility that Tosfos gives to reconcile between the two is, and this is your question from yesterday, Yerushalmar, the pak'u, the hainu pak'u melehen. Paku means it happened by itself. The Yardu, that by Ula, which says Yardu, which is from the previous Mishnah, that Mashmash Horidan, that somebody took them off the Mizbeach. V'yesh l'chalek, and you will differentiate between me'elehen v'de'achim. If it happens by itself, then we say you don't have to put it back on. On the other hand, if someone actively took them off the Mizbeach, we say go put it back on the Mizbeach, because you took it off inappropriately. If me'mele, it came off the Mizbeach, we say, okay, once it's off, leave it off. But if someone actively takes it off when it shouldn't have come off, we say go ahead, put it right back on. You got to take it back onto the Mizbeach. And that will answer, you would ask that question yesterday if there's any relevance between whether it happens by itself or it's taken off. Here, Tosfos, to reconcile between the statement of Ula and the Mishnah, uses that chiluk to try to explain them. So therefore, there are three possibilities of explaining or reconciling the Mishnah. One is, as Tosfos says, the difference between Mashla Be'en Aor, which is that they're slightly consumed, versus our Mishnah, which is Nitachlu, where they're totally consumed or very consumed. The other possibility is the way Rashi learns Lo Yachzir and a Mishnah is optional, and he'll learn the Yalu by Ula is also optional. And the last distinction is the difference between Yerdu, someone took them down, versus our Mishnah, we're talking about Paku, which happened by themselves. And now the Gemara asks a basic question, which is, Heichidami, what is going on in our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says that Chatzot is the threshold or the cutoff point. Anything that happens before Chatzot comes off, you put it back on. And anything that happens after Chatzot, you don't put it back on. Well, what's the status of the item? Why should Chatzot matter? if these Ivarim still have something to them, then afilu achar chatzot nami. Then why does chatzot matter? Even after chatzot, you'd have to return to the mizbeach to finish them off. Ve'ida leit behu mamash, if there's nothing left to them, then afilu kodem chatzot nami lo. Then even before chatzot, you shouldn't have to return them to the mizbeach because they're finished. Their mitzvah's done. Why do you have to return them to the mitzvah? Why is chatzot relevant whatsoever? The only thing that should be relevant is whether they're consumed or not consumed. Why are you bringing me chatzot? So where it says, lo tzricha b'shrirei. We're talking about Ivarim of unique status. Shrirei are, as Rashi says, kashim shinit kashu machmata ish. They're hardened by the fire. Sheshalta bekulan v'nisrevu, and they're burnt. Ella shlo nasu pecham. They're still not a coal. They haven't burnt to the point where they're now coals, but they burnt to the point where all the moisture, everything that's dried out of them, they become shriveled up, dried up. They're completely burnt, just not coals. So that's what they call shrirei. I don't know if that's a play on shrirei meaning muscles, which are also hard. You know, they're hardened. They're not basar. They're not flesh anymore. They're hardened. They're not consumable. That's what we're talking about here. So the chatzot as a threshold is only true by shrirei. In Ochanami, the way we're learning now, if there's still Ivarim left, there's still mamashut for them, you put them on all night. You don't have to put them back on the mizbeach. If they're already deshin, if they're ashes already, you don't have to put them back on. If they're shrirei, chatzot is the cutoff. If they're dried out to the point where they're like, it seemed like wood, but they're not coals yet, then before chatzot, you got to put them back on to finish the mitzvah. If after chatzot, you don't have to put them back on anymore, we consider them to be completed. So, minahani mile. Where do you know this concept that chatzot is the cutoff? So he says, because katuv achar amar kol alayla v'iktir. One pasuk says kol alayla that you place them on the mizbeach, and the other pasuk says katuv achar amar kol alayla v'heirim. All night you take them off the mizbeach. And that comes from the psukim we've seen these just the previous couple of dapim. The psukim that relate to trumat adeshen, which are in the beginning of Parshat Tzav. As it says over here, Tzavet Aron bet Benav Limorzo, Torah Tola, Hi Ola Ala Mugda, Ala Mizbeach Ola Laila, there's the Kol HaLaila, Ada Boker, Ve'isha Mizbeach Tukad Bo. So here we have the Kol HaLaila. Then it says, V'lavash HaKoyim Midei Bad, Mido Bad, Mikhlisei Bad, Yubash Upsarov, Ve'herim Et Edeshin Asher Tochal HaYesh Et Ola Mizbeach, V'samo Eitz Ola Mizbeach. So here you have the word Kol HaLaila, and afterwards the next pasuk talks about Ve'herim Et Edeshin. So the assumption here is that the Herim Edeshin is being modified by the Kol HaLaila. So that's the one pasuk where we said here, Kol HaLaila V'Herim. Therefore, it sounds like Harama applies Kol HaLaila. That you can do Harama, you can remove things. Trumat Edeshin means that you're taking the ashes off the Mizbeach. That they're ra'ui to be removed from the Mizbeach all night. But we also have a pasuk. Where does the pasuk say that? That's the first pasuk by the Trumat Edeshin. It said, al al-mogda means on the pyre, al-mizbeach kol alayla. So therefore, kol alayla is modifying al-mogda of hiktir. So now, kol alayla is modifying both al-mogda and ve'irim et edeshin. So that's what the stira that Rav is trying to reconcile over here. You can't be maktir and be meirim. They're two opposite pu'ulot. Maktir means you're placing it into the fire and leaving it in the fire. Ve'irim means you're removing it from the fire, you're taking the ashes off. So how do I reconcile between these two? Chalkehu, split the night off. Chetziol ha'aktarav, chetziol ha'arama. Kol alayla means kol alayla for both of them together. Kol alayla means the entire night is ra'uy laktara laharama, but only half laktara and half for harama. How would I do that? Cut it off at chatzot. Up till chatzot is ra'uy laktara. That means anything that comes off the mizbeach, you gotta put it back on. After chatzot is ra'uy laharama. You remove it. You're taking the ashes off. It's ra'uy laharama. That means that anything that is on the mizbeach that's eaten to that point, if it comes off, we don't put it back on. Legabe shrirei. That means, if according to Rav, and Rav is explaining what we just said before, that if we're talking about shrirei, by shrirei we have the pasuk here that tells us kol alayla, but half the layla is for haktara, half the layla is for harama. So if the shrirei come off in the first half of the night, you got to put them back on. If come off in the second half of the night, you don't have to put them on. But if it's completely basar, or if it's not lo nitachel, then you put it on all night. And if it's already ashes, you would take it off even before or chatzot. And that's why Rashi is learning. The gist here, Tosfos over here notes that Rashi says, b'chatzot la'arama is perish b'kunjus, u'shri nami ru'umin la'arama. And shri can be taken off after chatzot. Mi'u nira, d'lav ru'umin la'arama, d'lav deshen inhu. How could you call that trumat deshen? Trumat deshen means you take the ashes off. So how could Rashi say that after chatzot, you can take them off? You're allowed to take the shri off. El chatzot la'arama, so Tosfos says, no, chatzot la'arama means Lo haramamash doesn't mean you take them off literally. Eloka ein haramash, ein ruim laktara. They're no longer really laktara. If they come off his back, you don't put them back on. But not that they're ro'ui for trumat hadeshin. So Tosu says that he doesn't know if Rashi's right about this harama. Harama sounds like you can take them off the mizbeach. He says that's not true. They're shri, they're hard, but they're not coals yet. When you need for harama to deshin, you need deshin. They're not deshin yet. So how could you take them off? Later on, Tosu backs away from this and says, Mimkom akom yeshli yashay perish akuntris. I can reconcile the Peshat of the Kuntris of Rashi, the Chetziol Arama, I know a filu b'shriri. Uyinjen zesh aramat adeshin matiran nosvan latapuach. Because trumat adeshin involves two stages. One stage is that you take all the ashes and you pile them in the tapuach in the middle. There's a separate stage where you scoop out the ashes from there and then you take them and put them in mizrachoshom mizbeach. He says, well, that in that stage, in terms of piling them in the middle, that the shriri are ra'ui for. They're eaten enough where you can pile them into the tapuach in the middle, you can take them off the pyre and put them into the tapuach. They are not ra'oi to the point where you can make them ashes and you can take them off and use them for the trumat adeshin. And based on that, Tosa says, that's the explanation of the harama here. And he says, in the end, v'hilkach nir lik k'perish ha-kuntris ikar. Says that the mission tamid sounds like Rashi, and I think Rashi is right over here, that the harama of the shriya means you can take them, literally take them off, but not trumat adeshin, take them off from his back, but pile them into the tapuach. Alright, now, Gemara challenges Rav's explanation. Rav Kana says, I don't understand Rav's position. B'chol yom, it's a mission on yoma. Every day, Torah mit ha-mizbeach mikrot together. They used to do trumat tadeshin, the truma of the mizbeach mikrot together, which is from alot ha-shach. A little before, a little afterwards, around that time. B'yom ha-kippurim, on Yom Kippur, they used to move it back to chatzot. B'ragalim, on the yom tovim, on the regalim. B'ashmoret ha-rishonah, they used to do it after the first third of the night. Whoa, how could you do trumat tadeshin after the first third of the night. According to Rav, the division of the night is a din d'oraita. You can't do trumat adeshin before chatzot. Chatzot is the beginning. Only from chatzot and onward is harama allowed. Heche makdeminon. How can you go before chatzot? How could you take the regalim and push it back before chatzot? Now it's interesting. Why do they take the regalim all the way back to Ashmoret Rishonah? Rashi says it's because tzricha lotum la tapuach shebeam. So you have to pile them up in the middle. Usader tamarcha b'layla shiuchlu l'shchot l'lotot tamid b'lotot shachar. They need to have room to do the tamid in the morning. And since there were so many karbanot on the regel, they need to clear up the mizbeach and get the tapuach piled up nicely beforehand. So it takes much more time to clear up all that is on the mizbeach and make it to tapuach to be ready for the korban tamid in the morning. So now, the way we have our girsa, I'm going to read it according to the girsa of Rashi. Tosafot disagrees and puts the girsa back the way we have in our Sfarim, as you can see in the parentheses here. The question here is Heichem Magdaminon, according to Rashi. And then Rashi says Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Now, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rashi, is not an alternative explanation. According to him, Amar Rabbi Yochanan is explanation of Rav. He's modifying or qualifying the statement of Rav. Mimashma shenemar kol alayla. It says all night. Eni yodea she'ad haboker. I don't know. It's until the morning. So why does the pasuk say like this? Ala mokdal mizbeach kol alayla ad haboker. Well, if it's all night, of course it's ad haboker. So where does the extra boker come to teach you? Matam alom ad haboker. Ten boker the bokrosh alayla. Give an extra morning to the morning of night. Hilkach. Therefore, kol yoma mikro togever sagi. Therefore, on every day, it's enough to do the Trumat Adeshin from Alot HaShachar. B'yom HaKippurim Mishum Chusha De Kohen Gadol Mechatzot. On Yom Kippur, because of the weakness of the Kohen Gadol, you go back to Chatzot. Now this will really depend on a machloket, whether the Avodot at night, like Trumat Adeshin, are required to be done by the Kohen Gadol. We know that all of Avodat Yom HaKippurim has to be done by the Kohen Gadol and by nobody else. The question of those items that are prior to the Yom, like Trumat Adeshin, do they have to be done by the Kohen Gadol or not? From here it sounds like yes. Mishum Chosha the Kohen Gadol. We're worried about the weakness of the Kohen Gadol. What weakness? He's not doing the Trumat Adeshin. Why are we worried about his weakness? But then don't do it. If we're worried about his weakness, just don't do it. One point is, Chosha the Kohen Gadol means literally that the Kohen Gadol, we want him to rest between the Trumat Adeshin and the doing of the Tamid Shel Shachar. Therefore, we're makdim the Trumat Adeshin. The other interpretation is like what you said, Zvi, that no, there's no obligation on the Kohen Gadol to do it. What's Mishum Chosha the Kohen Gadol? Means that we get the other Kohanim to do the Trumat Adeshin early, so that the Kohen Gadol can start immediately with the Tamid Shel Shachar. He doesn't have to wait for the Trumat Adeshin to be done, because before he gets hungry, before he gets weak, we want him to start immediately in the morning. So that's Mishum Chusha the Kohen Gadol. Chusha the Kohen is not that he performs the Trumat Adeshin, but rather we get the Trumat Adeshin out of the way so that he can start the Avodah early. Then, on the other hand, we have Regalim, the Nafish Karbanot, where the Karbanot are alive, the Mekadmi Atu Yisrael, Me'ashmot HaRishona, so that Bnei Yisrael come early into the Zarah. Meshmot Rishona, then you can already clear it out from the first third of the night. Kediktani Seifa, as you know, in the latter half of that Mishnah, like that, Kriyat HaGever Magat, that you died Zeram Le Yisrael. Because by dawn, the whole Azar was full of Yisrael. So then we see that they're coming very early. So we need to get everything cleaned up. We need everything to be ready in working order. Number one, beforehand, so they can get going early in the morning. And number two is that after the first day, when they all came and they bring all their karbanot, we need to clear it up for the new Tamid HaShachar to start early again. So now, how does that reconcile with Rav? What did Rabbi Yochanan do to answer the question that we had on Rav? Which is, ten boker the boker shalayla, if you look in Rashi, bokro shalayla is alot ha-shacha. Boker acher, so what's the other boker? Ten lo hainu hashkama, earlier. The came into ein zman ledavar, ela shal hashkama, kol lefi tzarach ha-sha'a. Torah basically gave us an ambiguous statement. It says, kol alayla, well kol alayla lasts until alot ha-shachar. That would mean that shumat ha-deshen has to be done at alot ha-shachar. Well then it says, ada boker means until the morning. Well, what morning are you talking about? Well, Rabbi Yochanan said here that ada boker comes and says, give an earlier point to start the Tshumat HaDeshen. Well, what's the earlier point to start the Tshumat HaDeshen? Ada boker means give it to the Chachamim. The Chachamim get to decide. Depending on what the situation is, they'll define what the boker is. Boker just means earlier. What's earlier? Well, it could be Chatzot, it could be Ashmoret HaRishona, it could be something. It seems to be that it'll be a defined time. Things or time periods that are significant in the Mikdash. Chatzot is a significant time in the Mikdash. So is the Shemot HaRishona. Shemot HaRishona is when the guards change over. And if you remember the first mission in Brachot, that's the Zman Kriyat Shema, according to the opinion of Rabbi Lazar over there, that the Zman Kriyat Shema is only at the Shemot HaRishona. And these are significant or defined cutoffs in the Mikdash. And therefore, depending on the need of the day, the Chachamim will define for us what's Ad Boker. Ad Boker, how much earlier do you take it? Now this is all the Fi Girs of Rashi, that the only question on Rav is, if midnight is Midoraito, how could you go before midnight on the Regalim? Along comes Rabbi Yochanan and says, I'll explain it to you. There's an additional pasuk. Not only do we have the Heirim and Hektir, which are defined by Chatzot, we have an additional pasuk which says, Kol Alayda Ad HaBoker. That Ad HaBoker gives me additional permission to do the Arama earlier when I need. And based on that, the Regalim will be taken before Chatzot, even though normally we don't do it. It won't change the status of Chatzot being the threshold. It just says that in certain instances where we need to do the Tshumat HaDeshen early, we're allowed to do it based on that Ad HaBoker. Tosafot leaves in the Girsa, and that's the alternative Girsa. He says, I don't understand what Rashi is doing. It says, Rashi, the kochus machak, he erased. He put it, taken his erase route. Ella, mi yukash le peruze. Tekra ad boker dichtiv baktara. Rashi just said now that the ad boker comes to teach you that harama gets this looser definition, and you can do harama earlier based on the chachamim. But the only problem is that that's in the part. Tavet rom ben avli, marzot rat olahi ol ala mogda, ala mizbeach kol alayla, that's aktara, ad boker. So that ad boker is being defined, or is in the area of Akhtara. If that's the case, then how could Rashi claim that the Adaboker is redefining what Harama is? So based on that, Tosa says that the nearer that the Girsa of the earlier Sfarim. And that Girsa is Ella Amar Rabbi Yochanan. If you say Ella Amar Rabbi Yochanan, that means Rabbi Yochanan is coming to disagree with the position of Rav. So therefore, nearer Girsa Perishim Acharonim, the Garsi Ella. Upolig Rabbi Yochanan the Rav. And Rabbi Yochanan is arguing on the position of Rav. So that's the answer here. If you think that Chatzot is the cutoff according to Rav, then the question is Heichem Akdaminan and Heichem Achrinan. How do we go before Chatzot and how do we go after Chatzot? The answer is Elam Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says Chatzot is not the cutoff. The cutoff is Ad HaBoker, until the morning. Let's understand this now. What Rabbi Yochanan says, and this is the way Tosfos explains it, become Rabbi Yochanan. Kol Alayla, all night, Kayaktara v'Kayarama. All night applies both to Haktara and to Harama. You can do Haktara all night, and you can do Harama all night. There is no defined time. They're both valid all the way through the night. To kol alayla kashya laktir k'shem mochalin. If they're not consumed yet, the whole night is ra'oi to put them back on the mizbech. And if they're already consumed in deshin, then the kol alayla is kashya l'harama, if it's mukal. Now, Gabi Haktara, by Haktara, there's an additional statement of Adaboker, which is Miutar. Additionally, Tain Boker le Bokrosh Alayla, to give an additional Boker to the night. Well, usually when we say give another morning, means to be Makdimit, to bring it earlier by one unit. Well, what's the unit that's defined in the Mikdash? I know Chatzot. Chatzot is the natural stepping point that is one before Alot HaShachar, and therefore, when it's Chatzot, will be the defining point for the Shrirei. And that's the way Rabbi Yochanan will explain it. Chatzot is not relevant. According to Rabbi Yochanan, Chatzot is not relevant. You can have Haramat HaDeshen all night, and you can have Haktarat Amurim all night. Neither of those are defined by Chatzot. What is defined by Chatzot? That's the Shrirei. that additional out of Boker comes to teach me that we makdim the Boker to say that once you reach Chatzot, then it's already ra'ui l'deshen, it's already considered to be consumed, even though technically it's not a kol yet. And that's what that additional statement comes. Even though other items that were not consumed will be put back on, and other items that were already consumed will be taken off beforehand, the Chatzot is not a threshold for anything besides the Shrire. And that is where he'll disagree with Rav's position over here. Rav's position will be that Chatzot is the threshold, and it would seem that the threshold means that only Harama before, and only Haktara afterwards. And therefore, the Gemara asks over here, Heicha me'achrinan and Heicha magdaminan. How can we do it, Hagdama Tadeshin before Chatzot? Or how can we do a Matadeshin all the way at Alot together and find that you do Haktara all the way through the night? If Haktara only belongs to the first half of the night, or Harama only belongs to the second half of the night, how can you mix and match? How can you play around with them? So that's what the Gemara asks, Heicha me'achrinan, Heicha magdaminan, and Elam Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan comes and redefines Rav. The way Rashi reads, Rashi makes Rav and Rabbi Yochanan to be equal, and that's how we explained Rav originally, that Rav is only talking about the Shrire. But when it comes to the Deshin or things that are low mukal, he would agree that you can do those all night and you can take them off all night. The only question was then, if Chatzot is a cutoff in terms of Harama, it only starts from that point, how could you do Harama beforehand? That's Elam Rabbi Yochanan. We have an additional puzzle that teaches us Harama is defined by the Chachamim. Since it's defined by the Chachamim, it's okay. Tosus again has a problem with this Pshat and Rashi because Rashi is taking a word ad boker, which is found in the Haktara part of the Parsha in Parsha Tzav. And therefore he says, I don't understand how Rashi is learning a special din about Harama from a pasuk that's really talking about Haktara. Okay, now the Gemara continues quickly. Itmar. Pershu kodem chatzot, v'yakziran achar chatzot. If they came off the mizbeach before chatzot, v'yakziran achar chatzot, and then he puts them back on after chatzot. I mean, they were not completely consumed, and now he's going to return them to the mizbeach after chatzot. So Rabbi Amar, chatzot sheni uchlatan. When are they considered to be totally consumed now? What is the threshold by which they become, they switch from being something that's placed on the mizbeach for haktara and turn into deshen? So Rabbi says, well, you missed chatzot tonight. You got to wait till chatzot on the next night. What do you mean? You still have the threshold of dawn. If you don't have the threshold of chatzot, you still have the threshold of dawn. Why? It's Amarei Bei Rab, my time with Rav Chisda. They said in the base manager, Rab, what's the reasoning behind Rav Chisda? What's the logic? Chatzot, which is a threshold, a cutoff in terms of being considered consumed, yet when you cross over chatzot, the items are not considered lina, left out overnight, not considered to be pasul because they were off the mizbeach at that point in time. So certainly, amud shachar shosel lina, amud shachar, if anything is left off the mizbeach at amud shachar or is not consumed by amud shachar, it has a din of lina. Eino din shosel equal. Certainly, amud shachar should have the power to be a threshold in terms of considering something consumed. Now, pershu kodem chatzot. What happens if they came off before chatzot? And then he returned them only after Amud HaShachar. Means he missed the two thresholds here. He missed the Chatzot threshold as well as the Amud HaShachar threshold. So Rabbah again says, Chatzot Sheni Uchlatan. Rabbah says the next night's Chatzot will be the threshold which make them into Deshin. Rav Chisda on the other hand says, no, Ein Behen Ikul Be'olam. They're done. There is no such thing. They will never be considered to be Nekalin. They don't become into Deshin anymore because they missed both possible thresholds on that night. And as Tosus explains over here, what does it mean? Veleka, Lameimar, Damud HaShachar, Sheini Yaseiko. Why don't you just say, wait till Damud HaShachar on the next night? Why do you have to say that? We Kabachomer the Chatzot, Shereino Selina, Ela Karbanot HaYom Shelefanav. He says, no, because Rav Chisda believes that Chatzot of that night works, but it doesn't, the Chatzot of the next night doesn't work. So Amud HaShachar of the next day can't work either. The only reason that Rav Chisda says Amud HaShachar works is because Chatzot works. But if he doesn't believe that Chatzot of the second night works, then of course he can't believe that Amud HaShachar of the second night can work. Therefore, Rav Chisda says it's got to be on that night itself. Either Chatzot or Amud HaShachar are the ones that are the threshold. If you miss those, then you've missed it completely. Rabbi, on the other hand, please, if you miss, it's only Chatzot that is the defining threshold. If you miss Chatzot tonight, Chatzot the next night will be the threshold for you. And Rabbo is l'tamei deimer ein lina moel eproshosh mizbech. As long as somebody is still on top of the mizbech, there's no lina. Therefore, even when you cross over lot shachar, we don't worry about it, and the next night's chatzot will take care of it. Tosfos over here points out a problem that comes up in a number of places in Shas, which is that Bei Rav is usually defined as being Rav Huna. Bei Rav means the base medrash of Rav Huna. Now, Rav Chisda was a Talmid of Rav Huna. So how could it be over here that the Bei Rav, Rav Huna's Rebbe, is coming to explain the position of Rav Chisda, his Talmid? So Tosfos give one answer, is possibility that Rav Huna also held of this. Rav Huna held the same din, and Rav Chisda got it from Rav Huna, and that's what it means over here. Amar Bei Rav means that the Rav Huna, or the Beis Medrash Rav Huna, was explaining this position of Rav Huna, which Rav Chisda also followed, his Talmud also followed. Or, Inami Matzinus Rav Huna, Rav Gilda Shabeach Tvarav. Find in many places that Rav Huna, the Rebbe of Rav Chisda, was Meshabeach, what Rav Chisda said. So even though he was the Talmud, the Rav was complimentary of the Talmud, and used to explain things of Rav Huna. Tosfos in other places has other solutions to this problem, including changing the girsa. But over here, he just leaves it that Bei Rav here might be Rav Huna, and he is complimenting the Talmud, or he had the same memra as the Talmud. Okay, we'll stop over here.